Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of MCU TV. Today is July 3rd, so for our American listeners, happy early July 4th. For our non-American listeners, happy Sunday. Joining me, as always, is Sheba. Sheba, how are you today?
I'm good. Can't complain. I mean, it's been a crazy, busy first weekend of summer, but hey, what are the odds? That's what happens, right?
Hey, get it over with early.
Exactly.
Sheba, did you know that this is actually an important episode?
I did know it was a very important episode. I did.
It is our 50th episode.
Hooray!
Which, we only do shows when there's a new Marvel show. So, I mean, the fact that, one, there's been 50 episodes of Marvel shows, I'm excited as an adult, but as a kid.
Yeah, to have that many things to look forward to. Like, I mean, I know that when I was talking to another friend and we were planning, or we were just looking forward, we were like, wow, there's so many things happening in 2022. Like, this is going to be a crazy year. And then they announced more things for 2023. And we're like, what? There's so many things happening. So it's a very exciting time for us fans of things, really.
Segueing and jumping into the show, it's very so I am not seeing Thor, I guess it would be this week. Because one, I couldn't get tickets. Just crazy with for this one, more so than Spider-Man or, you know, some of the other movies, Doctor Strange. But then we're going on vacation, and Thor's being shown at, now I'm trying to draw a blank, the big theater in Hollywood where all the premieres are, and
the Chinese theater? Is that what it's still called?
Yeah, but there's like Chinese, like Man or something.
I know it used to be the Man's Chinese Theater, but they changed it recently. Okay. So I don't remember what the politically correct version of what they've changed it to. It's still Chinese something. I think they just took out the Man's. So I think it's just Chinese theater now, but I'm not sure.
That theater. And so we're going to go with the in-laws. I mean, a kind of cool aspect to see it there.
Oh, it's gonna be fun.
It is. I'm sure I'm gonna get all the spoilers before then, and that's fine. It's kind of one of those where it's like a weird, you know, as a big, especially Marvel movie comes out, being like, well, not seeing it opening weekend, which is it's different.
Yeah, I had to Google when it was coming out because I'd forgotten, and our trip we're going on. We're leaving on July 9th. So I was like, if I miss it, I'm going to be very upset. Like, if I have to wait, because I'd have to wait a whole week. And I'm like, I know a lot of other people can wait. I cannot. I have zero patience. And I'm like, I don't want to accidentally come across something and be like, great. Because some people just don't care. And they'll just post things without thinking about it, about what other, like, I know when I watch something, I won't even, the most that I might do is like, just post like, something in a story to be like, I liked it. If you want to talk about it, let me know. And that's it. But even that, I don't even think I do that anymore because I'm like, whatever, you know, I've seen it, whatever.
I've done that and had people literally that like, oh, what a great movie.
Yeah.
And people that you, friends, and this is Facebook, friends jumping on to me like, oh, way to spoil it. I'm like, I spoiled it by saying I liked it?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a spoiler.
Yeah, I know there's sometimes when I watch movies and I'm like, if I say I liked it, then people will question why I liked it. So I'm like, I'm not even going to do that. Like, I think with No Way Home, I put nothing. I was like, I don't want to say I liked it, because then people would be like, why'd you like it? Oh, it's because of these things. Ah, this happened. So what we theorized is, so I'm like, no, I'm not saying anything. If somebody, if you know, I was like, no, I'm not doing anything. I think I'm probably going to post a picture of me in my Valkyrie outfit, in because that's what I'm wearing to theater. I'll post a photo somewhere, but that's just like, hey, here it is. And then please don't spoil anything or talk about the movie. Like, that's really the basic thing that I do. But anyways, long stories is I'm going on vacation, and found out that it, like, we'll probably get tickets for the 7th, which is the Thursday. So I'm like, if I can go Thursday, that's better, so that I don't have to worry about it. So my friends were like, don't worry, we're on it. I'm like, thanks. So we got our tickets. My sister, my brother, my cousin, we're all going together, like with all of our other friends. There's like 18 of us going. And I'm like, I was surprised that because my sister's like, I was going to go with my brother. And she's like, nope, he wants to come too. And I'm like, yay. So we're all going before the trip, my sister, my cousin, and I. So that's that way we won't have anything spoiled. I don't have to worry about not spoiling it for them. So I'm excited. So, yeah. So I got tickets. I'm going before I leave for my trip. But then I won't be able to talk about it till, unless we talk about it on Friday, won't be able to talk about it until I get back, unless Tim wants to do it with Lizzie later or earlier.
We'll see how well Tim holds on to not talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what we are going to talk about? Episode 4.
Yep.
Seeing Red. Now, I did not see Red during the show. I was not angry at all during the show. It continues to evolve, at least, you know, for me and in the excitement. And they did, some people were complaining about it, but they did a very Marvel-esque cliffhanger, which I love the art of a cliffhanger where it ended. And I was like, wait, I missed something. It's not over. And I'm like, no, it's over till next week. And as annoying as it is, I'm like, that's right. I do. I mean, Sheba, when, you know, we were growing up, I don't know, you know, some of the shows you watch, but, you know, the season ending cliffhanger where you're like,
almost
3 months.
Oh, God, those were the worst.
These we have to wait a week.
Yeah, I know. And like people like nowadays, like I've seen kids being like, well, but we have to wait, or like not even kids, like people in their like teens, even like young adults. They're like, we have to wait. I'm like, listen, you don't have to wait for like, it's not that bad. I'm like, if you missed, like if you got a cliffhanger and had to wait, like you said, the end of the season, like the next season, but you missed that first episode of the season, that's it. Like you have to wait until you somehow find a rerun, if they play a rerun somewhere. Otherwise, you're screwed. Like you'll never know what happened. And you're like, oh goodness. Like you have to time and plan your life so you can catch that episode. Because if you missed it, that's it. You're like, you'll never know.
If you were lucky, you remembered to set your VCR and it worked.
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes that didn't work either.
Nope. So keeping with kind of the approach we took and started last week, you know, a couple, you know, plot highlights. And I mean, there were some, but this was largely about Kamala experiencing Pakistan. And we'll kind of jump into that, because Sheba, you've been there. It's been some years. And we were talking beforehand, you know, as you watched it with your mom and your mom sharing some stuff. So we'll certainly jump into that. The conversation on the flight between Kamala and her mom was hysterical. And I felt so bad for that guy in the middle seat.
It's funny because first I thought that Kamala was just on her own. And then all of a sudden when her mom like just kind of like peers around the corner, I was like, there's Auntie Muniba just waiting to say something or the other to Kamala. And it was very funny in the sense that there was a lot of like, almost like a little bit of passive aggressive like that's how my mom fights with me too, where she's like, oh, okay, yeah, like sure, you're gonna do that, and I'm like, yes, no, am I? I don't. And like that's literally how we've had fights. Is she'll kind of ignore me, but then also want to talk to me, but then also criticize me at the same time. So you're like, you don't want to talk to me, but you also want to talk to me to make mm-hmm. fun of me and to make me feel what? So it's a very confusing time.
The so obviously, you know, Kamala's not in so much trouble that mm-hmm. she can't go on a somewhat last minute trip to Pakistan. But you know, we get there and kind of want to jump through, you know, kind of her experience, you know, mm-hmm. you know, there. But going to the show title, Seeing Red, we meet the red dragon, not dragons, red daggers.
Yep.
Which are part of the comic as well. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, they are. It's a little different from what I remember in the comics. As far as I know, Red, there wasn't a group of people. It was just one person, and that one, I don't know if I want to say it, but anyways, there's one person.
Okay.
As Red Dagger.
So it's not a group. It's not a group. It's a person. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Yeah. So that was a little different, but I knew that I had known that going in because people were already talking about it. They were like, oh no, it's a group of people. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Whatever. I'm just letting it, like, I'm just like, if it's completely new, I'm just like, we're just also bless you. I don't know if that was you sneezing. Yeah. But I'm just like,
it was, I couldn't get to the okay. button as quick enough.
No problem. I was just like, I didn't know if it was a you thing or like a dog thing. So I was like,
I was desperately trying to get to mute and missed.
No worries. It's going to be different. I've accepted that and I'm fine with it. So, it's a group here and not a person.
So in this group, they seem, the takeaway I kind of got from them was long-standing group. They've had mm-hmm. interaction with our group of Jin before. They know where they're from. I mean, I loved the context they kind of put of like, yeah, no, they're from this other dimension. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not necessarily trying to get back, you know, and if they, you know, do what they're going to do, it basically, you know, it's the age old, it's end of life as we know it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So definitely like this like longstanding group, you know, mm-hmm. you know, were they, at least they know the Jin. I didn't get the sense that the Jin necessarily knew who they were.
Yeah. So another thing, just to quickly touch on that Jin aspect, because I know a lot of people were still, well, there were still a lot of Muslims that were annoyed of that whole part from episode mm-hmm. 3. And they were like, nope, I'm not, like, I know a few creators who were like, no, I'm not watching this show anymore because they have used that concept and we don't like it. And they didn't even watch episode 4 and they're like not watching it. And I'm like, and again, we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about this, but I watched the episode with my mom later on and I was telling her about it. And I was like, oh, people don't like it. And she's like, why? I'm like, and they just said that they don't like the way it's representing. We're talking about this. She's like, but they're good Jin and bad Jin. So it's not a big deal. So I'm like, oh, okay. And I think that's the South Asian, the Muslim part of me. It's the child still part of me that my parents are like, that's okay. And I'm like, yeah, that's okay. I'm all right with it. So I just kind of like relaxed. It's really, I'm full out adult and it's still like, I'm like, my mom likes it and says it's okay. So it's okay. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? I should be able to go.
Absolutely nothing.
Right. So I'm like, but that's just a thing that happens. So I'm like, so she was like, it didn't bother her. And I was more worried that because my mom has a different sense, like her sense of Islam is a little different than what mine is. So I'm like, I'm okay with it. If she's not okay with it, then maybe I really should be like more concerned. or look into it further. But she was like, no. So I'm like, all right. So I know a lot of creators have not gone and watched it, but in this episode, they did kind of go, well, it's not the jinn that you think of in religious texts or in the religious context. It's something completely different. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
For me, I was like, that kind of reinforced, like, hey, you know, what you were thinking about religiously, it's not that. So regardless of what I had thought initially, I was right that it wasn't it wasn't a negative thing that they were doing, or they weren't misrepresenting or misspeaking about what jinn actually are. It's just a completely different thing. So for me, I was like, okay, that makes sense. I'm cool with it regardless. So it didn't bother me again, but it does. It's really cool that the group seems very rooted in Pakistani history, because I don't think they went anywhere else in the world. I think they were just kind of taking care of things that were happening in Pakistan, which I thought was interesting. But would also, I guess they're still fairly recent, because I guess a lot of things, because Pakistan has a lot of things that are going on with it. What I got from the group is that it's not necessarily concerned with human things. It's more just other kind of supernatural, or more like other, like anything else that's kind of going on, they take care of. They don't really take care of, like, you know, bad people, quote unquote, bad people that are taking over Pakistan, or that are hurting the poor, or things like that. I guess it's completely different, because then I would be like, but you didn't help the rest of Pakistan and everything else that they've been going through. So I just assume it's other things that they're kind of focused on.
That's the sense I got from them as well. So speaking, and then kind of like the last, you know, kind of big plot point, we see the, which is, you know, no surprise, the jinn escape, damage control, make their way relatively quickly to Pakistan, and very quickly find Kamala within it.
Yeah, I was like, that flight alone to Pakistan takes about like almost 24 hours. So I was like, what? That was fast. Like, and they didn't, it's not like they had a magical portal. Like, that's what they needed Kamala for. So I guess that's a nitpicky thing, I guess. It's just story magic. But I literally went, wow, that was fast. Yeah. Okay, sure. Whatever. Let's suspend belief. It's fine.
Yeah, I had the same on that. I cracked up on the callback to when Kamala jumps in the truck and she throws it into reverse by accident and like scams all the stuff backwards. I'm like, yep, you still don't have a driver's license, do you, Kamala?
But like, and thankfully she didn't hit anybody. I just want to go back right to the beginning of the when we meet the Red Daggers. With the actor Farhan Akhtar. He's really popular. He's a really popular Pakistani actor. So I was watching with my mom, and he started speaking. My mom was like, ah, Farhan Akhtar. And I'm like, okay, yep, I see where I get the I can recognize voices thing, because he turned the corner. I was like, yeah, that's it. I had watched it before I watched it with my mom, because my mom likes to talk throughout the whole thing when we watch anything. So I was like, I need to be able to have answers to her questions, because otherwise she'll just keep asking them the entire time. And my poor sister had watched it the first time and decided to watch it with all three of with the both of us. And so she's like, can you just stop talking, mom? My mom was like, but who, what's that? What's going on there? Did they go here? Did they leave to Pakistan? What's going on? What's happening? That's not the airport. My sister's like, can we just like for a minute, like, shh. And I'm like, I knew I know that's what she does. So I watched it early in the morning. So I'm like, if she asks me questions, it's not going to bother me, because it's my second time watching it, and I'll watch it in a different perspective. But my poor sister was like, hey, both of you. And speaking of airports, because we talked about this, you and I, before we recorded. Mm-hmm. But when Kamala and her mom get to the airport, my mom was like, that's not the airport. And I'm like, it's not. And she's like, nope. And like you mentioned, I went in 2004 to Pakistan, so a long, long time ago. And I don't remember the airport. So to me, I was like, yep, that's the airport. And my mom was like, no, that's not the airport. I'm going to look it up. And I'm like, but we're watching. She's like, no, I'm going to look it up right now. I'm like, okay, fine. So she Googles it and she's like, yep, it's filmed in Bangkok. The airport was Bangkok. And I think most of the action and things that happen or where all the acting occurs was probably filmed in Bangkok. But the exterior shots of, like where it says City of Lights or, the different little traffic sculpture things, the roundabouts and all the aerial shots, those were all filmed in Pakistan. But where the actual acting happened was probably in Bangkok. But that's typical of any show or movie. Sometimes they can't get the permits or they just can't film in the actual location. So they film in a place that looks kind of similar to where they're trying to shoot. So that wasn't really like, oh my God, how dare you? It was like a sure, it's a filming thing. So I wasn't upset by it. I don't think anybody else noticed that it was not filmed in Pakistan, but I don't think anybody noticed or cared. And I certainly wasn't like, how dare you not film in Pakistan? I know enough about filming to know that it happens sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I would have had no idea. I couldn't read if there were signs which would have, given something like none of those things. But I mean, I living and having grown up in Washington, D.C., there are times when, a show or a movie will be, we're in D.C., and I'm like, no, you're not. I mean, and things that most people would like a bus that goes by, and yes, they've changed it, in editing to like scrub away, Atlanta or San Francisco or something else, but like it's the sign at the top of the bus. It's like says like Red Line or something, and I'm like, DC buses don't have that. It's like little. So like I get when people are like, no, but I mean, right.
It's
You
not a big
can't
deal.
film everywhere.
Exactly. Like Toronto is always doubled as New York or some other major city, like every other month. So it's really not a big deal. And I don't, again, I don't think that, I didn't see any concerns of anybody going, it was not filmed in Karachi. Like people know enough to know that that's what happens. But they did actually go and film the outside, which I thought was cool because they shot some like the City of Lights thing is an actual thing you see. That
So what
roundabout
is,
is
so talk a little bit, I mean, the City of Light and the Roundabout, you've mentioned those, but the kind of the significance, or because I don't know anything about them.
Oh yeah, it's just well recognized as you leave the airport. Those are things you see. So there was a lot of that. Like there was just a lot of things like the roundabout that you see from the aerial shot. That's one of probably the biggest, most famous roundabout areas in Pakistan, Karachi. Because there's Pakistan, I mean there's Karachi and then there's Lahore. There's another scene where they're standing on the roof and there's a whole bunch of kites in the background. It's Kamala and her grandma and her nani. And when I watched it, I was like, all right, cool. That's a cool scene. Or like I didn't know that they had a lot of like kites in a spot somewhere. Or like I didn't notice anything. I was just like, Karachi, yep. I was watching with my mom. I was like, nope, that's not Karachi, that is Lahore. Or that is what Lahore would look like, not Karachi. And I was like, did not know that. So even being, I mean, not growing up in Pakistan, there are things that I don't know or recognize as not being a specific area. And it's interesting to watch it with my mom because I get extra little random information that I didn't know myself, like that I don't know myself. I'm more just like, cool, they're representing Pakistan. And my mom is just like, my mom was born and raised there, so she knows all the ins and outs. So it's fun to watch it with her because she gets to go, ah, no, that's not a thing. Or, oh, that's different. Or, oh, that's interesting. That looks like the skyline of Bangkok, not Karachi. Like interesting, did not know these things. So it's kind of cool to be watching that with her. She kind of gives a little extra like information in that regard. I will tell you what my mom thought of the episode afterwards, just because we'll get through the main stuff and it was just kind of a little funny review that she gave.
Well, and actually, that was actually going to be my next question. Maybe not of the episode as a whole, but I mean, from your perspective and her perspective, did they capture Pakistan Well, I mean, did it? I mean, again, I have no idea what a city feels like there, but I mean, you could, the show gave it a sense of vibrancy and everything else, and was that fairly accurate?
She, my mom, I thought it was when I watched it. I'm like, I remember it being very busy and all of this, and the family, because at one point when Kamala's on the bus, because we were talking about that, there is the family on the bike, on the motorcycle, and they're all just kind of waiting to start it, and it's literally everyone piled onto one thing. That happens all the time. That is actually, I've seen more family members on one motorcycle than just the, and I think that it happens in India too, but I've only been to Pakistan, so it happens all the time where I'm like, there are seven people on that motorcycle. What? Like, it's, how is that holding? How is
How?
that possible? Like, two I can get, but like seven, I don't, what? So that is a very Pakistani thing to do. They have the little rickshaws. So, Najma, Kamran's mom, is in the little, rickshaw thing that, and Kamala, Kareem, and Wali, they're all kind of being chased at one point in a little rickshaw thing as well. Those are, that's the, that's, they don't, Ubers and stuff are more recent, but when I went, that's the major form of transportation. You jump into a little rickshaw and then you'd like speed away to wherever you were going. Taxis, you didn't take, like, it wasn't the first thing to take. You just grabbed a rickshaw and went. So it's kind of fun that they included that. The buses are very, they're very colorful. They're very vibrant. They're very like decorated. It's a, like, you can actually go to Pakistan and buy little like souvenir buses because that's something that's a, like a standout feature of Pakistan. I think India has that as well. But my mom was like, oh, this is okay. It's a, they did a pretty good job with it. She appreciated it. The pani puri thing is something that we do eat, like the thing that Kamala was eating, where she was like, it's really hot. It's just a little, it's a, pani puri is just, it's kind of like a flaky, not a pastry, it's a, kind of like a dried, like puri. Can't explain it now. Wow, I never had to explain it, things without pictures before. But it's like a little, it's a little shell kind of thing, and it's a savory thing. It's not sweet, it's savory, and it's a little shell where you fill in with like chickpeas or little like, yeah, like chickpea type stuff, and then you put a little kind of like a sauce that is kind of spicy. And then you just kind of fill it in, and then you just take it in one bite because it's a really like, it's a one bite type thing. And then you just eat it and crunch, like eat it and just chew it, and then that's it kind of thing. But I don't remember it being spicy, but my spice tolerance is also very, very, very high.
I was going to say
And
it might be different than hers.
yeah, I've grown up with, and like even in my own family, my spice tolerance is very high. My brother's is very low, and my sister's is kind of like in between. So my brother's like, oh God, it's so spicy. And he's like sweating. And even though I'm like, my nose will run, and my nose usually just runs if it's spicy. And I'm like, whatever, it's fine. It's delicious. My mouth is on fire and I love it. So for me, when my brother's like, is it spicy? I'm like, I have no idea because I don't feel anything. And I can't tell you if it is or not, because I've had other people tell me like, that's spicy. I'm like, is it? I don't even taste the spice. So it can be spicy, I think, if you put certain things in it. Things in Pakistan, I think, tend to be a little bit more spicier anyways, just because depending on who you are. Because I know when my nephew comes over, my mom will make the less spicy biryani for my nephew. I'm like, but I want it to be more spicy. But she'll like let make it less spicy so that my nephew can eat it too, and my sister-in-law and even my brother can kind of eat it without, being, their mouth on fire. So usually a lot of parents will kind of make it less spicy for their kids or for, people in general. Whereas in Pakistan, they're just like, yeah, no, you eat this level or you don't eat it. Like, you can eat something else. So I think it probably is spicy.
And I mean, and that's we always made things less spicy for the kids as they were growing up. To the you mentioned the kites. And Nami, like, I remember a book, The Kite Runner, but I feel like that was Afghanistan, not Pakistan or India.
That was set in Afghanistan, although a lot of Afghanis have left from Afghan to go to Pakistan or India. So I think most of them go to Pakistan. So it's because I have a lot of friends who lived in Pakistan, but they are Afghani. So that definitely was filmed, was set in a different place, but the kites are still, I think it's more, I guess they do that more in Lahore, because I've never seen a lot of kites like that in Karachi. But again, 2004, so it's been 18 years since I've last gone to Pakistan.
And what, I mean, your mom seemed to know about it. Is that of something of significance?
No, she didn't mention it. She just said that it was, I guess, something that, you see a lot in the skyline there. Not so much in Karachi.
And then one more kind of before we jump into
the big
kind of some of the plot aspects. Because it's something that I've actually meant to ask each episode. And it was like in this one, because Nani did it too, jumped out at me. They call the children or their grandchildren's beta. What is that? Because I've like I've noticed it, and I was like, at first I was like, oh, is that just like a little nickname? But then the continued use of it, I'm like, all right, what is the significance of, or what does that translate to?
Beta usually just it's just kid. Like a sweet, loving way to say kid. At least that's what my parents, when they call me beta, I'm like, oh, they love me. If they call me anything else, I'm like, no, that's, I'm in trouble. Beta, bachi, because sometimes they I think Mini Bounty did call Kamala bachi. Bachi is like the female equivalent of it. But sometimes they just use beta regardless. So it's just like a loving way to say kid or child of mine, pretty much, or younger person. Yeah, like a lot of older adults will say beta. Like I don't call my nieces and nephews beta. I call them John, which is heart. So I'll be like, yes, my John, like, how's it? So like, that's my, like, it's just a cute little nickname, pet name. But instead of saying like my heart or, we'll just say my John. I'll say it to kids that aren't my kids. But a lot of like, older adults, like aunties, uncles, will call you beta. Like I all of my aunties and uncles have at some point in time gone, oh yes, Shiba beta, how are you, how's it going beta, like just kind of in a loving way. And when they use that, you know they really care about you and they really love you. So yeah, it's just a term of endearment.
So then on kind of going back to some of the plot points where you know we're talking about Nani, she's not surprised by any of this. She definitely seems to know where she and she's from, who her mother was. And not a big impact for her.
And I really liked the lady who plays that plays Nani. She's a very famous Pakistani actress as well. And my mom, a famous actor as well. My mom was like super excited to see her. She was like, I think Samina M, I think. And my mom was like, oh, that's her. She's really, you know, she's really famous. And I was like, oh, okay. My mom was super excited about that. And this episode was also directed, episode 4 and 5 are directed by Sharmeen Ubaid Janoi. Again, a very famous Pakistani director. My mom was actually really excited because she was like, when is that? When is she directing? And I'm like, Mom, I think it's, she said episode 4 and 5 because I found out about it and told her. And she's like, oh, okay. So my mom was really excited about this episode because she's like, they're going to Karachi, like they're going to Pakistan. And there it's directed by Sharmeen Ubaid Janoi. So she was, and we get to see the actor who plays Sana, so the Nani. So my mom was just like way excited about this episode. But yeah, she's also very famous. But I really liked that. I loved how they show in the whole episode the different relationships of all the women with their mothers. So Kamala and her mom, and Muniba auntie and her mom, and how very different it all is. Because I'm like, even in my own family, my relationship with my mom was very, very like Kamala and her mom, in the sense that I know my mom loves me, and she'll say things sometimes and you're like, oh, that's hurtful. And I didn't, like, even to this day, I'll tell people things like, oh yeah, my mom said this. And they're like, that's rude. I'm like, it's my mom. She's doing it out of love. I know she doesn't mean it that way. She means it this way. But there's a lot of times where, unless the person is also Pakistani or a child of immigrant, they look at me like, your mom, that's mean. I'm like, oh no, yeah, it's not. It's just a mom thing. Like, it's just, that's just,
it's a cultural, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, moms, am I right? And they're like, no, my mom never says that. I'm like, no. And then, but I'll look to somebody who also has immigrant parents and I'm like, moms, am I right? They're like, yeah, moms. So it's very different. And I never realized those things. There were little things where, you know, the way my parents disciplined me at home, and people would be like, when I got older, they're like, yeah, no, your parents shouldn't be like hitting you. And I'm like, oh no, it's not what you think it is. Like, it is still bad that they were doing that, but I never thought of it as domestic, like, or abuse or anything.
Yeah.
Until I was older and I was like, oh, they shouldn't have done that. But they weren't doing it in a way that they wanted to, like, actually harm me. They were more just like a smack, please be better as a human being. It was not to say that I condone hitting children. So it's like, please do not mistake that. But growing up, it was not something that I was like, oh my God, my parents hate me because they hit me. They were just, it was like a, I did bad. They wanted me to know I did bad. Don't do that again. So it's just a different way of being brought up. So, but I didn't realize a lot of those things until I, like, talked to other people that weren't from immigrant family. Well, again, when I would talk to, literally, because I was only around mostly white people, I didn't realize that it was bad until they would tell me. And I was like, oh, okay. And then as I got older and I met other immigrant families, and they're like, no, my parents did that too. And I was like, okay, so it's not just a Pakistani thing. It's an anybody that came from immigrant families. They had the same kind of ideals of raising kids. So I would connect with a lot of that anytime I watched even like East Asian things, like, or like Chinese families, or, children of Black families, because they have very similar upbringings or similar things as well. So I could connect with a lot of that as well. And I've been hearing people connect with that in this show as well. But again, I really appreciated seeing, Muniba auntie, massaging her mom's feet. That's something that I have done to my own mom and to my grandma as well. Like, it's just a sign of respect, of love. You just go, sometimes my mom just goes, massage my feet, and just like throw my feet in her face. And I'm like, all right, cool, I'll do it. Sometimes you're just like, oh no, you walked a lot. Let me massage your feet, because, you know, so that I can help you, because I know you're hurting. Let me help you by massaging your feet. So that was a very respectful thing, even as much as, Muniba and Muniba auntie and her mom had some difficulty, and you could tell that she was hurt by what her mom, like, had not been there for her. She was still like, I'm still going to be respectful and I'm going to do this for you, even though I was hurt by some of the things that you did. So I liked that they showed that yes, it's difficult for mothers and daughters, but there's still respect there.
Before we kind of get to the kind of cliffhanger and anything else, plot or, kind of the cultural aspects that we haven't hit on.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the partition.
That's huge throughout all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've never, like I said before, I'd never seen, besides Doctor Who, where they talked about it, I'd never actually seen the crazy, quote unquote, craziness or the whole, like, the train station scene that we see at the end. Mm-hmm. I'd never actually visually seen it anywhere. They talk about how intense it was, how difficult it was, how families were split up, how friends and loved ones were split up, and how it changed a lot. It changed people's lives. And I'd never seen that, in at least in Hollywood, in Western media at all. So seeing that was, you could feel the anxiety and everything that was going on there. My mom, as she was watching it, she was like, yeah, no, it was a very intense time. And then she said that one of our family friends, so a friend of my parents, and we know their daughters, their family friend, he's an uncle to me, but my mom was saying that he had like 5-6 sisters, and they were all at the train station trying to, you know, figure out how to leave. Apparently all 5 sisters never, like they got lost and separated, and to this day they've never seen or heard from all 5 of their sisters. They don't know where they are. They don't know who they're with, what happened to them, if they're alive. They know nothing. And this is like, and I just found out about this like recently, and I'm like, wait, what? My mom's like, yeah, they've just, and she was casually saying it too. It was like, I mean, not casually as in like, oh God, she was just kind of like, no, that's what happened to a lot of families. Like people just were split up, dispersed, and you never saw them again. And I'm like, that was more heartbreaking for me, because I'm like, it made it more real, because I've grown up with those family friends. Like I've seen their daughter grow up, because she's a few years younger. I think she's my brother's age. So we've we've hung out together. We've all grown up together, and I've known this uncle for a long time, and I never knew this. And like they said in the episode, that everyone has a partition story. I think I wish that my grandparents, both my dad's side and my mom's side, I'm like my mom's parents and my dad's parents, I wish they were still alive for me to ask these questions. Because when I was younger, there was a lot of things I didn't know about Pakistan, about the partition, about just growing up in general. As I got older, I would ask them certain questions, but it wasn't until like at now that I know even more. And they're not around for me to ask. And I wish I could have asked them. Like my dad's parents were in Pakistan, so I barely got to see them. I saw them maybe what, like I saw my grandfather, my dada, that's my dad's side, my dad's parents. Dada and dadi are dad's parents. And mom, dada is dad's dad, and dadi is dad's mom. So I saw my dad's dad, my dada, in 2004 when I went to Pakistan, and then he passed away after, and I never obviously saw him again. And my dadi had passed away before that, so I hadn't seen her. I hadn't been able to ask her any questions at all because I was a child when I saw her. And then my nani and nana, my mom's parents, my nana I knew, like he was around until 2002, and my nani passed away in 2017. So I wasn't, and my nana was very like, he would share all the things. He did photography, he did like wrestling and weightlifting and all kinds of things. My grandma was very like, very cool. I mean, I could have asked them all the questions. I just didn't know to ask them.
Yeah.
And by the time that I did, they'd all passed away. So I really wish I could have asked them, you know, stories about the partition, or, you know, it's traumatic, I know, but I wish I could have asked them any kind of questions, because I'm sure they all had stories to tell, just like they mentioned, like everybody had a partition story. I just didn't know. And I'm sure my mom probably knows about it, and I could ask my mom. And I think I probably will sit down at some point and ask mom, like, what was Amananaju? That's what I call my nana nana. I call them Amananaju. I'm like, what were their stories? What did they, what, how was it like for them? Because I know my grandfather, my nana, was definitely in India, because their whole family was in India. My grandfather, my nana's sister, was from India, and she actually moved to Dubai at some point. And when I was working in Sharjah, I had met her for like, and that was in 2012, 2013, something like that. So I met my grandfather's, my nana's younger sister. I think a lot of them had passed away. My grandma's siblings had, a lot of them had passed away, but I met her, but she only spoke in Hindi/Urdu. And my Urdu is like, it's passable, but it's littered with lots of English. So it's hard to kind of have conversations. if somebody else doesn't understand English. So there was just, when I met her, it was more just like, this is somebody from my past that is connected to my grandfather. And I spent just more time just sitting with her and just being in her presence. So I didn't ask a lot of, because I only met her once, and there wasn't a lot of time to go, let's get into stories now. And again, I didn't know a lot about partition to ask those questions. So there was a lot of that watching that was hard to watch. And then being like, I wish I could ask more questions of people that were there. And I do know a lot of older people that are friends with my parents that I'm sure I can ask. But at the same time, I know it's very traumatic. And usually when I see them, it's at like a party or an event. And I'm like, this is really neither the time nor the place to ask, let's talk about partition right now. It's usually like, salam, auntie, how are you? How's it going? Do you need help, you know, making food or taking out food or that kind of thing? It's not enough time to go, salam, auntie, do you need help? And let's talk about partition. But, you know, it's definitely something that I would like to ask people, because it's a lot. And I'm sure there are a lot of stories to tell, like that one of the uncle that I never knew about.
And it was a very powerful scene when Kamala gets transported seemingly back in time to the partition, to, you know, the last train. And, you know, you did see that of families being separated. There was one line of, I don't know if it was a father to a son or what have you, but it was like, take this money, like, you're going to need it where you're going. I don't need it. I can't go with you.
Yeah. And
you saw, you know, as families were literally any place they could get onto the train, they were trying to get onto the train for it. You know, I'm going to guess in the next episode, we'll see more of that. And we'll probably see Kamala meet her great grandmother.
Yeah, and also probably her great grandfather too, because I think from what I, so you know how Nani was showing her a picture of her father and herself? She's like, this is the only picture I have of myself and my father. I don't know if you noticed in the end credits, but I'm also a very big fan of Fuad Khan. I will be gushing a lot next week about Fuad Khan, even though I have not seen all of the dramas he's been in. I just have seen him in Bollywood movies and one Disney. He's in one Disney Bollywood movie that's called Khabsura. Okay. And it's a Disney movie. Like, it's Disney Khabsura. Then it's Disney produced it, made it. I have no idea, but it is by Disney. So I'm just a very big fan of him. He's a very attractive man. I'm obsessed. So he's supposed to be, because there was an interview with Shermaine Obaid-Choi, the director. And she's like, I may or may not have worked with Fuad Khan. And I was like, okay, definitely he's in the next episode. And I think he's playing the great grandfather. So I think she goes back and she'll probably meet him. But in the end credits, it does mention Fuad Khan. And I was like, where? We did not see this man. And he's in the end credits. I don't get it. And I know that they mentioned everyone else, like they mentioned Bruno and things like that, but they also had the previously on. So I assumed that's why they were showing a lot of that. But I was like, Fuad Khan was not in this episode, was he? And then somebody was like, he was in there for a second. And I'm like, where? So I assume he's in that picture. That's who Fuad Khan is in the picture. And that's why they mentioned him. So I'm assuming he's going to play the great grandfather. So I'm assuming Kamala is going to meet up with her great grandfather, meet her grandma, meet her nani when she was younger. I don't know if we meet the great grandmother because it's a little confusing. Well, maybe we do, because the Trail of Stars, I'm assuming, is her great grandmother leading her daughter to her father and then just disappearing and going off somewhere else. But that would be
I've kind of had that assumption too.
Yeah. So I'm really interested to see that. It's probably going to be a really heart-wrenching episode. I'm probably mentally preparing to cry by myself. I'm sure when I watch it with my mom, I probably won't cry because my mom will be asking a million questions. Or not just asking a million questions, but telling me things as well. I'm really enjoying watching with my mom, actually, because there's things that I Yeah, that I really would not have noticed. And she's, I think, really excited to be like be able to see Pakistan, to see Pakistani culture in Western media without it being like, without being, it's stereotypical or, just racist or anything. So it's really cool to be watching it with her. I'll again, I don't know whenever we're done, but my mom's thoughts on the episode, she enjoyed it. But when I was like, Mom, did you like it? I think she was more just like, yeah, it was good. There was a lot of like fighting now, and like in her words, like kind of more Marvel, quote unquote, more Marvel now. So I think she was kind of like, yeah, it was fine. But at the same time, she also was like, all right, I've watched your episode with you. I've watched your show with you. Now I need to watch my Pakistani dramas. So leave me be so I can watch. Don't ask me a million questions. Like she was literally in the process of putting on her Pakistani dramas and was like, go away, leave me alone. Don't ask me a million questions. And I was like, but I just want to know if you liked it. So she was like, it was good. Go.
That's
So
funny.
yeah, it was very, it's hilarious that when we watch stuff with her, she's like, you talk too much. And I'm like, but mom, you also talk a lot when we're watching stuff that we want to watch. So, because we'll watch dramas with her and we're like, who's that? Oh, is that, why is that person like that? Why is that auntie weird? And my mom's like, you're asking too many questions. I'm trying to watch my show. And I'm like,
Go away.
first of all, lady, you do the same thing. So it's just, it's funny. But anyway, she enjoyed it.
That's right. And it, I mean, I'm sure that's nice and special that you guys are, you have to watch it with her and, have that. So two episodes left. I'm gonna state it now. I'm getting concerned that they'll cover a lot in episode five, and then we're gonna get to six, and it'll be a oh, we have to sprint to the end type of thing again. One day maybe Marvel will learn their lesson with that. So any other thoughts on that before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, I definitely know that they're gonna. I felt like that was an expectation coming in. I was like, they're doing a lot, but it's definitely gonna be rushed. But again, like you said, it's what Marvel has been doing with the shows, and hopefully people will be calling them out on it so they can. And I don't think a lot of people are doing that. I don't think anybody's going, hey, Marvel, you're rushing the ending. I think if more people were talking about, hey, Marvel, you're rushing the ending, they might do something about it for future shows, or at least try to solve that problem. One funny thing is, I wonder if they're going to just do an end credit scene where Ant-Man shows up, because even in the street art in Pakistan at the
There
train
was
station,
Ant-Man. Yeah.
there was Ant-Man. So I have a feeling there, because they've mentioned him in like almost every episode. And that's, you don't just drop that. And like, and I know that, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a clip going on that I saw on Facebook of the cruise, of the Disney cruise that they're having, the Disney Wish cruise with Ant-Man, Wasp, Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel shows up, Captain America, Sam Wilson, Captain America shows up, and they're all fighting Ultron and stuff. But there's a clip where Ant-Man is there and Kamala are there, so I don't know if that's why they're kind of like littering it in. But I have a, it would be kind of a fun little Easter egg if they did an end credit where Kamala is on the podcast with Scott.
I could definitely see that. I mean, and I think Paul Rudd would definitely do that.
I think it would be hilarious, and I'm not expecting it because I don't want to be so disappointed if it doesn't happen. But I really hope something with Ant-Man happens, because they've been dropping hints everywhere. And once it was a coincidence, once is a coincidence. Like the podcast was like, all right, fine, she just mentions it. Then she mentions we c I could have Ant-Man powers, and then the street art in Pakistan. Three is one too many coincidences. So that's just
Well, we
my
will ha
thoughts. Yeah.
we'll have to wait and see two more episodes. So, folks, we will leave it there for this week, and we'll talk episode five next weekend. Take care.